Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 50 years and 2 weeks ago, I was baptized, and on that day, my Lutheran pastor grandfather and Lutheran pastor dad splashed water on my head, proclaimed the baptismal promise, just like these two sweeties are going to get today, and gave me a baptism candle representing Jesus as the light of the world. And then they quoted Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that we will do. You'll probably hear Pastor Dixon maybe do this or not, I don't know. We'll quote Matthew's Sermon on the Mount that says, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Today I brought in the candle holder that my grandpa made for all of his grandkids. I often mention this in baptism, so I thought I'd do a little show and tell, because my grandpa was really intentional about affirming these baptismal promises for his grandkids. He made these for all of us. Very simple, very crude wood. They hung above our light switch in our bedroom so that every time we would leave our room, we would remember that above all else, we were children of God. I know it seems simple, it may seem trite, but let me tell you, it is the one thing that I didn't appreciate as a kid that as an adult, I am so grateful was emphasized in my life, because it has held me when life has seemed especially dark. So, we hear about light a bit today in the Gospel of John, as you heard Pastor Dixon read the first five verses of John's prologue, and each gospel presents Jesus' life, death, and resurrection in a different way. His coming into the world, this incarnation, comes a little bit differently as well. And John's gospel presents the incarnation completely differently. It talks about Jesus coming more theologically, and it frames the who, what, and why of God and how God comes to us as a human in this gift of incarnation. John echoes the opening verses of Genesis, as you heard Pastor Dixon read, "In the beginning," and it makes clear the connection that Jesus and creation are together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word that we're talking about is Jesus. Jesus is God, God is life, and life is light, the light of all people, and there is no darkness that overcomes it. God is life and God is light, and life and light are what God gives each of us as well, and we are affirmed by that promise in our baptisms. But as I tell baptismal families, and you'll hear me tell you this morning too, everybody here, there are lots of subtle and not so subtle things that try to get us to stop trusting that God is light and life. In these moments, this simple baptismal candle reminds me that life and light will never be overcome. Now, light can come to us in different ways. It can feel like a really intense lamp exposing us and scaring us and causing us to retreat and become less of who we are. Or it can be like the warmth of the sun, which allows us to loosen our grip on our own lives and trust that God is working in us to be just who God has created us to be. And I know this sounds a little ethereal, probably hard to grasp, and it is, because light is not graspable. Life is not graspable. We would do anything, wouldn't we, to just really hang on to what we have in every single moment. But light and life are presents. They expand. We know them when we experience them. We know that when we walk into a dark room and we switch on a light switch, darkness doesn't go away. Instead, darkness becomes the light. Similarly, when we carry something deep and dark, a secret or a shame in our lives that we are afraid of exposing, our first instinct may be to hide it, to push it down deeper so that we won't be known or seen, so our vulnerability won't be held against us. And in a time of honesty, where honesty is met with judgment often or suspicion more than grace, I totally understand that instinct, and I think it's a safe instinct. But I also love what Pastor Loos has taught me about this particular text. He said that his favorite translation of that verse about God's light is the Greek translation that actually says this: God's light shines on the darkness rather than in the darkness. When you think of this verse like that, you see the gift of being honest in your confession each week when you come to church. We confess our sins not because God thinks we are unworthy, but because God loves us so very much. And God receives us in that love and mercy, and then forgives us to go and live with that same mercy and love wherever we go, even with ourselves. When God's light shines on those things that burden us, God's love transforms those things and frees us from those things. But believing in freedom and this gift of freedom is much harder than we think. We tend to think it's easier, or certainly more comfortable, to rely on our own efforts to solve things or prove our worth. So our minds easily jump to scenarios of what if this might happen, or if only I would have done that kind of thinking. We think about the future and we say, what if I don't do this? What will happen to me? Or what if I do do this? What will happen to me or my family? Or we look to the past and we ruminate. We think, if only I had tried a little harder, if only I hadn't said that, if only I had listened, if only I had been there when he got sick, if only life would return to the way it used to be, then God's light would shine. But what if and if only thinking are conditional, and God's love is anything but conditional. God's love is unconditional, and God's love is forever. God's love is life, and God's life is light. So you see how it all goes together. We do nothing to conjure up our own life by ourselves, just as we do nothing to conjure up light on our own. They are simply gifts given to us by God, received through faith, not by our own human efforts. We confess this every week, actually, when we say the words of the Apostles' Creed. We say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Martin Luther's explanation to this says that we are simply saying, I believe that God exists, or God has created me and all things that exist. This first five verses of the prologue is basically talking about the existence of God and our existence in that whole orb. God gave you and me life so that we can be light. Just truly by who we are. We don't have to try to be anyone we're not. The poignancy of this message of light speaks loudly to me, especially when I'm caught in anxiety or despair, or find it hard to trust God is truly in life all the time, in all the places. And when I hit moments of disillusionment or heartache, I tend to go to one of my favorite passages from Martin Luther King Jr., from his mountaintop speech given in 1968, when people were certainly asking questions of what if, or if only, to make sense of their reality. In this speech, Martin Luther King says, "If I were standing at the beginning of time, and the Almighty said to me, Martin Luther King, which age would you like to live in? I would take my mental flight by Egypt, across the Red Sea, through the wilderness, on toward the Promised Land, and in spite of its magnificence, I wouldn't stop there. I'd move on by Greece and take my mind to Mount Olympus, and I would see Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, Euripides, Aristophanes assembled around the Parthenon as they discussed the great and eternal issues of reality, but I wouldn't stop there. I would go on even to the great heyday of the Roman Empire, and I would see the developments around there through various emperors and leaders, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even come up to the day of the Renaissance and get a quick picture of all that the Renaissance did for the culture and aesthetics of life, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even go by the way that the man for whom I'm named had his habitat, and I would watch Martin Luther as he tacked his 95 theses on the door at the church in Wittenberg, but I wouldn't stop there. I would come up on 1963 and watch Abraham Lincoln sign the Emancipation Proclamation, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even come up to the early 1930s and see a man grappling with the problems of the bankruptcy of this nation and come with an eloquent cry that we have nothing to fear but fear itself, but I wouldn't stop there. Strangely enough, I would turn to the Almighty and say, God, if you allow me to live just a few years in the second half of the 20th century, I will be happy. Now, that's a strange statement to make, he said, because the world is all messed up. The nation is sick. Trouble is in the land. Confusion is all around. But I know somehow, and this is what I love about this, I know somehow that only when it is dark enough can you see the stars. Sadly and shockingly, one day after Martin Luther King Jr. gave this very speech, was the day he was assassinated, which of course stirred up confusion and sadness even more. But his words reminded them, as they remind us now, that death does not have the final word. For Jesus died, but Jesus rose again. Jesus is God, God is light, and God's light and promise transcends all time and place. Only when it's dark enough can you see the stars. This Advent season, and always may John's words of grace ring true for you, the light shines on the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Thanks be to God. Amen.